Do you know it is lovely to be here tonight, and it's always lovely to be able to speak a word for the Lord. It's always lovely to be able to tell of how the Lord has washed me in his precious blood. But just before I start, I'd just like to read one verse of scripture. You don't have to turn it up, it is found in Isaiah 42 verse 8. It says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. And you know, my prayer would be tonight that you would not look at Jeannie Graham. And I often say this, because if you look at me, you will leave this meeting and you will leave it very disappointed, because I'm full of failure and full of fault. But if you look at this Jesus that I speak about, why, he's no disappointment to anyone. He is the Lord, and that is his name, and we're here tonight to give him all the glory, honour and praise. And you know, my testimony I can say with the words of the 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And you know, from a child I knew the holy scriptures. I was not born into a Christian home, but I can honestly say my daddy got saved whenever I was 3. And from a young child I always remembered that I always knew that I needed to be saved. It was at the age of 4, it was a children's day service, and I just heard that except a man be born again, I cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I remember thinking that if I want to get into heaven, that I need to come the blood sprinkled way and a childlike faith, that I need to come to Jesus and need to ask him into my heart. And that's just what I did. And praise God that Jesus died for the whosoever will may come. It doesn't matter how young, it doesn't matter how old, you know, Christ died for the ungodly. At the age of 4, I prayed that little prayer, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And it's wonderful to know that we have a prayer answering God. Do you know, I was brought up in a Christian home, and I thank God for that. I sent out to all of the meetings Wednesday night, Friday night, Sunday school, Sunday in the afternoon, and I praise God for that. As the Bible says, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. But I remember going into high school, and I thought that I would go into high school with the Lord, and so I did. And I thought that I would seek to win my friends for Christ, and so it started off that way. But you know, I have to give a faithful account of my life tonight before you. And you know, it's not too glamorous of thing to be able to say that it was not too long that I was in high school that I took my eyes off the Lord. Our brother Willie McRae sings that song, sin will take you further than you want to go, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. And you know, friend, whenever you take your eyes off the Lord, it will cost you more than you want to pay. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 34, and Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And perhaps you say, how could you be a servant of sin at the age of 15 or 13? But the Bible says, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. Do you know the old devil? He took a nice picture and he painted it for me in front of my eyes, and he makes everything glamorous and everything nice. And so it was that I took my eyes off the Lord and I started to look at those faraway fields which I thought looked green. The old devil whispered lies into my ear. He's a deceiver and he's a mocker, and he'll tell you you're missing out, and he'll tell you that it's born to be saved, and he'll tell you that there's good things in the world to taste of. And you know, like a fool, I listened to the lies from the pit. I took my eyes off the Lord and took my first drink at the age of 13, and sin would take me further than I wanted to go. It was at the age of 15, I remember, waiting in my bedroom for Daddy to come in to see me. My mummy had already broken some news to her, and the news was that his wee daughter at the age of 15 was pregnant. Only a few years had passed, and sin had taken me further than I wanted to go. I remember thinking that he would give me a hiding whenever he found out, how disappointed he would be. And yes, I have to honestly say that whenever he opened the bedroom door, I remember seeing the shame upon his face. And yet he came over and he put his arms around me and he says, Jeannie, the world will beat you, but I won't. And sin had taken me further than I wanted to go. But you would have thought being trained up in the way that I should go. You would have thought being a child of God, putting her faith in God at the age of 4, that I would know the scriptures, come unto me all ye that labour and are heavy laden and I will give ye rest. You would have thought being trained in the things of God that I would have ran to Calvary, that I would have ran to the rock that strengthened Jesus. But you know, friends, sadly to say, instead of running to him, I kept running from him. I remember the night that I went into labour. And you know, whenever I say this, I ask you to remember, sisters and brothers in this meeting, that it's only for the grace of God go we. But the night that I went into labour, I was 15 years of age. I was in the house on my own, my wee brother. By this time, you know, I was brought up in a godly home, but my daddy had took his eyes off the Lord. And he had went down into the far country. And whenever he went down into the far country, you know, the family, they all just tottered after him as well. And sin had really taken our family to the extreme. That night that I went into labour, you know, the Bible says that the Lord is married to the backslider. And even though I had left him, he still had his hand upon me. I was in the house on my own, as I said, and the Lord, I believe it was the Lord, put it into my older sister's heart to come home early. Whenever she came home, she found me in labour and she brought me to the hospital. But as I was on the road to the hospital, you know, Mommy and Daddy, they had saw me. They had been out for a night's drinking and they were driving in the car. And you know what a terrible sight it was whenever my mother and I walked into that labour ward. I don't know who was holding who up. I was heavily in labour and she was heavily drunk. And you know, sin had taken us further and we wanted to go. Perhaps we sit in this meeting and we think, oh, not I. I'm so godly and I'm so close to God. But it's only for the grace of God go we. Do you know, if we take our eyes off the Lord, how the devil can destroy our lives just in a blink, just in a second. Perhaps you're here and you're thinking of dabbling in sin. You're thinking of playing around with God. Oh, friend, be careful lest we fall. Oh, that we would stick close to that everlasting love of Jesus. Oh, that we would be faithful in prayer. Oh, that we would be faithful in reading the book. Oh, that we would stick to him, lest we fall the way I fell. And you know, I had a wee boy that night and I named him Kyle. And you know, I just remember thinking to myself whenever my minister came to see me a few days later. He sat at the edge of the bed and he did his best to witness to me. And I remember saying, oh yes, I do love the Lord. And you know, in my heart I did love the Lord. But you know, sadly to say, I couldn't have cared less about his precious blood because I was too busy trampling over it. Every drink that I took, every time I took his name in vain, I was too busy trampling over the precious blood of Christ. But instead of running to the Lord, remember, I kept running from it. I have to say that I didn't bring my child up in the things of God. And I have to say it to my shame, and we're not here to glorify the devil, but I only say this so that perhaps the young ones would see the damage that the devil can do to your life if you let him, that the young ones and even the older and everyone would see that we need to stick close to Jesus lest we fall. But instead of running to him, I kept running from him. I remember I had all my jobs was in public bars, and my daddy had become a real drunkard and I had become a real drunkard, and it was just like rob Peter to pay Paul. If he had the money to buy the booze, he had bought it, and if I had the money to buy the booze, I would have bought it. And you know, years and years just tumbled by until 10 years ago, and one Sunday night by this time I'm married, and I'm married with 2 children, and one Sunday night we're sitting in the, sadly to say, these 2 children had 2 drunkards for parents. And we're sitting in the house trying to think of how to get money to buy booze. And you know, my granny, whenever I was a one-parent family, she bought me my home because she was always afraid of money troubles for me. And she bought me my home. And I remember thinking this night of a plan of how I'd get money to buy booze. I went down to granny. I told her a load of lies. I got the deeds of my home offer. And I took it to a mortgage company and remortgaged it for £12,000. And you might say, well, that's not much whenever the average mortgage is maybe £50,000, £70,000. But friend, it is much when you drink it in 3 months. and sin would take me further than I wanted to go. But we all can look at ourselves and we all can think, and even though my life was wrecked and ruined, we all can think to ourselves, well, we're not too bad. And yet when we look at someone else, we can point the finger very quick, forgetting that there's always three pointing back. And so it was that I started to point the finger at Daddy. And you know, I always loved my Daddy, but I have to say that I hated what he'd become. I loved him whenever my younger years stand in the open air with a gospel smock on him and preaching the gospel. I loved him whenever I was sitting in his prayer meetings praying for his missions. But you know, I still loved him when he was an old drunkard walking down on a winter's night to the gambling machines with the children's money boxes in his hands. But this time he was breaking my heart. I wasn't proud of Daddy anymore. I wasn't rejoicing of him anymore. I remember praying in April of 95, Lord, would you give me my godly daddy back again? Do you know the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Bible doesn't say, taste and see that the world is good. The devil is a mocker. We had tasted the things of the world, and all those faraway fields that looked green were nothing full of muck and nothing full of deceit and lies, and our lives were just a mess. Instead of praying for me, I prayed for my daddy. But we have a God that hears and answers prayers. And like I said, he's married to the backslider. It was in April of 95 the Reverend David sent, and automatically as I prayed that prayer, he came round, as it seemed, to our house and asked us to go to a gospel meeting. And we went to the meeting. And do you know why we went? Because he came and he knocked on our door and he asked, oh, that we would not look at the drunkard. Oh, that we would not look at the backsliders, and that we would not judge them. Oh, that we would go. And I know that just pray for them, because we hear the prayers and the prayer meeting for our backsliders and our families. But oh, that we would go and open our mouths and tell them that we're praying for them. I thank God for David Sinton, that he did not know us, but that he came and he knocked on the door and he asked us to go to the meeting. We went the second week of that mission. He didn't know what night we were going. And that night as we were in that meeting, do you know, the very sermon was the prodigal son. You see, it mattered to all around us what we had become. And yes, it did matter to God, and we had hurt the Lord, but God in his matchlessness was still handing out his hand, his arm of mercy. And you know, he's here tonight and he's reaching out that same arm of mercy. Is there a backslider here tonight? Oh, you know what I'm talking about. You've dabbled in the booze and the sins of the world, and the Lord's saying, come, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. But we kept running. It wasn't until October of 95, praise God, that my father got himself right with God. And I remember November of 95 going over to a wee place called Ocklish Mission Hall. And it was in Scarvan, thinking to myself, I'll never be back in any more of these meetings. I've got what I wanted. The Lord has given me my godly daddy back again. But you know, God had me in that meeting tonight. And perhaps he has you in this meeting tonight. And you think you've just came to please your mummy or your partner or your neighbour. But you know you're here because God in his matchlessness has given you one more chance to get right with him. You see, that night in that meeting, I wasn't pointing the finger at my daddy anymore. It was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost was pointing it at me. And he was pointing it in love and in tender mercy. But you know, I have to say, very foolishly, that I left the meeting. And I left it in my sin. How foolish to do. The Bible says, behold, now is accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. But I was still running away from God. It was the next week that I went and heard our late brother Ivan Thompson, and on the way out the door he took my hand and gave me a real big hearty handshake. I remember him asking me, what's your name, dear? And you know, I was so ashamed to tell that man my name because of my sin. Yet he knew nothing about me. And you know, whenever I lay in bed that night, you know, the Bible says, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me, notwithstanding. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. As I lay in bed that night, it was as if no man stood with me. It was as if no one cared. Not one in the world cared about me. I'm sure there was, but that's just the way it seemed. And yet as I lay in bed, I kept thinking about the nail-pierced hands. I kept thinking how ashamed I was to run out of that meeting to tell Ivan Thompson my name because of my sin, and him that knew nothing about me, but one day that I would stand before God, the King of Kings, that knew all things, and one day I'd have to answer for things done in the body, whether it be good or bad. How would I ever face him? How would I ever look at the nail-pierced brow? How would I ever look at his scars? How would I ever witness and see all that he did for me on Calvary in the state that I was in? But you know, the Lord stood with me, and he drew me with cords of love that night. And I remember getting up and going down and kneeling at Mesa Tea. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, pray careth for you. Friends, by this stage I was a real drunkard. But the Bible says that battle is not ours, but God's. If you have a secret sin tonight, do you know the Bible says that battle is not ours, but God's. And the secret is to hand that sin over to him. I just prayed, Lord, would you take me back? And you know, rolled away, and the burden of my heart rolled away. What about the booze? Well, I asked the Lord, will you take the desire of this booze away? And I can honestly say that this God is a God of miracles, because he just ripped the desire of that booze out of my heart. But perhaps you're here, and perhaps you're thinking to yourself, is this fiction or is this fact? Can this Jesus really change your life? Does this Jesus really do the things that this girl says he does? Well, you know, the Bible says that where sin abounds, God's grace much more abounds. And you know, God was merciful to me. He also says, for whoso findeth me, findeth life. And you know, the old devil promised me everything, and he gave me nothing, only misery. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord dealt with me in November of 95. In March of 95, he dealt with my husband. My older boy now, Kyle, is coming 19 in May. And you know, a couple of years ago, Kyle gave his heart to God. But I have to say that Kyle's not walking with God tonight. I do believe that he's saved, but he's not going on. You know, I wouldn't be satisfied with him just coming to church on a Sunday. And I'm not satisfied with him just maybe standing up and bowing his head. He has to be walking with God, friends. And he's not walking with God. He mightn't be doing a whole lot of the things of the world, but he's not walking with God. And I asked you, would you pray for him? Pray that God will make him a man of God. I said about my daddy and his sins. If Kyle was here tonight to tell you his mummy's sins, his mummy would run out the door in shame. The Lord that saved him, pray the Lord will make him a man of God. A wee boy called Ryan. Ryan got saved whenever he was 4. And it was through Ryan that we started up our children's meeting in our house. So it was every Thursday night. In fact, last Thursday night, there was 27 young children, Catholic and Protestant alike, gathered in the little home. And you know, Ryan, he's just a wee testimony for God. And so is Carolyn. She's 8 years of age. She was on school around the corner a couple of years ago. And whenever she sat on the bench, dangling her wee feet, and Frank Mitchell said to her, what do you want to do whenever you grow up? Carolyn said, I want to be a missionary. I remember being that age and saying that I wanted to be a missionary as well. Oh, that God would make her a missionary. A wee boy called Aaron. And you know, and just the Lord, the day that he was born, the Lord gave me a promise for his salvation as well. Do you know, is it fiction or fact? You know, it's not fiction, friend, it's fact. He's took me from the gutter and he saved my precious soul. He has took this mouth that once cursed and blasphemed his name, and he has made me a Sunday school teacher. He has took this old drunkard, and he has opened up our home that used to be a den of iniquity and shame under the name of the Saviour, and he has opened it up for a lighthouse for Christ. Where I live, there's Catholic, Protestant, the whole way around. And the night that Aaron got dedicated, do you know, there was a lot of Catholics, 7 Catholics from the area came into the church that night. Do you know, they never would have come into the church if I hadn't got myself right with God. One of those Catholics took, and I only say Catholic so that you'll know the situation. There's no difference. There's only difference between the saved and the unsaved. But one of those girls, Veronica, took a Bible off me a few years ago. And, you know, we're just praying. They take the wee precious moments counters. And the ones that put them up in their home is the Catholic ladies. The Protestant ladies, they just think it's dirt, you know. They've no time for God. Oh, he took this drunkard and he opened up our house for God. he took this mouthpiece and just say, a year and a half ago he called me into the Christian school in Portadown. The Lord told me I had to go, he gave me the verses to go, and he even gave me the grace and gave me the help to do the exams to be able to be an assistant nursery school teacher. And you know, God is blessed. His affection are fact. Oh, it's only fact that God will give you the finest of the wheat. You know, the Bible says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I'm just going to finish now. The old devil's offering you what? What is he offering you? Whatever he's telling you tonight that he's offering you is a lie. And the Lord, he's offering you all things. The finest of the wheat. He's offering you a life to serve him. Oh, that we would take him. Oh, that our song would be that we keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I just keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter, doesn't he? If you're saved, he gets sweeter. Sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. He just keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. The last verse I'm just leaving you with is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And I just ask you to ask this wee question in your heart, and I ask it to mine. Answer it honestly. Is this your verse tonight? Is this my verse tonight? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Is that your verse? Do we love him? Is it honestly our verse? Oh, that it would be. Amen.
The Lord has been speaking to us.